Good to see your smiling faces. Thanks for the good singing. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We have an awesome God. Gives us every breath. Wow, it's beautiful. I thank God for freedom we have here. Speaking of China, speaking of other countries, almost nothing. If there's a legal meeting, it's people sitting in the back front listening and taking notes for the government. What are they talking about? They got the three-person church there, and they have meetings. Can't talk on Revelation, can't talk on prophecy, can't talk on probably Galatians. We'd be in trouble. We got to pray for our country that it isn't going to go that way. It's heading that way. But we're going to be lights for Jesus. Yeah, it's good to be here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have this privilege of meeting together. Your church, your people, Lord, in this building, in this valley, Lord, in this country. Lord, let us not take it for granted. Lord, most of all, that we would allow you to have your way in our hearts. Not to be distracted by the world, not to be distracted by the government, not to be distracted even by ourselves, but that we would allow our focus to be on you, Lord Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's you. So, Lord, have your way here. Give me the words I need to say. Give me the passion. Lord, it all comes from you. I'm just a feeble vessel here. Use my lips, Lord, to say what you would want, to give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Galatians, I think, you might differ, but I think the main key verse is Galatians 2:20. And there's a song for that one. Mike probably knows it. Comes from about a little more before this awesome God one, timing-wise, but it's scriptural, mostly scripture. It goes like this. Let me see. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. In me, in me, Jesus is alive in me. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. It's from the King James era. I grew up when I was a little gaffer in the King James era. And then we got New American Standard, we got NIV, we got NLT. When I first got saved, I was into the Good News Bible. But praise God, we got the Word. Some people say, well, it's that King James and that's it. I say we should be thankful that we got many versions we can compare. Don't have to know the Greek and the Hebrew. We're very blessed with Larry knowing the Greek and the Hebrew. Once in a while I'll talk, what does that mean? What does that mean? And he, well, that means that and that. And you get a lot better idea. But when you have many translations, you can compare back and forth. I think Lance has a Bible like I got, where there's four of them, side by side. Every verse mentioned in there. If you don't have one, that's a good way of studying, is reading it there right across. But we're thankful. Here we have the Word of God. Now, we're going through Galatians, and we went through chapters 1 and 2. We're winging it. We really are. If we were going to go into this in depth, we'd be here maybe months, maybe longer. Really in depth. But we're going to get the gist of it here. And last week, Galatians chapter 1 and 2, Paul talked about the gospel, the importance of the gospel, and that the gospel was given to him by the authority of God. Not from men, not from his own ideas, but God revealed the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ to him. And that happened. The crisis point was on the Damascus Road when Jesus showed up with him, to him, spoke with him, dealt with him. 3 days later, Ananias came and prayed for him. Actual scales came off his eyes. I think he saw a literal light, because Jesus is literal, not just an imagination thing. And he could see again. We'll talk a little bit more here later about his illness. Maybe it was sight, eh? But anyway, there was a crisis point there, but the authority of the gospel was given by God through Paul, who had the authority because he was an apostle of God by the authority of God. And now we have the word of God, the authority of God. 2,000 years later, we have the authority of God here. The gospel is from God. It's not a man-made thing. It's important for us to know that. So today, we're going to go through chapters 3 and 4. And it's a little bit more doctrinal and historical. And he's talking about Abraham and Moses and how God revealed himself to them and how they believed in faith, how their faith affected how they lived, even back then. And so, but we're going to not get into every detail of that, because I realize Eunice told me last week, too long, Ken, too long. Whoops, this thing's sliding out of here. That's okay. But, so I'm going to try and keep it a little shorter. It's not a Easter or anything where the turkey might burn, but still. So, it's more doctrinal, really. Practical, too, though. Doctrine is really teaching. It's to do with teaching. There's doctrine of the doctrine of grace, the doctrine of the cross. There's some doctrines, and even there's doctrines of demons. So we got to watch our doctrine close. We got the Bible here to keep our doctrine straight. Some people say, one guy keeps telling me, the mind doesn't matter. You just got to kind of throw that out and go by the Spirit. Wrong, wrong, wrong. The Spirit and the Word goes together. We need both. The Word without the Spirit, it says a letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So, but the letter is there for a reason, to keep us online. Our mind needs to be renewed by the Word of God. Renewed by the Word of God. If you're not reading God's Word, your mind isn't getting renewed. But if you're reading God's Word just out of, because I have to, and the Spirit's not in it, you're going to just get into legalism. You're going to be fighting with your neighbor over this or that. And in the church, we're going to fight about what this means and that. And there won't be any grace. So it's the Spirit gives us understanding, gives us love. And we're going to, next week is really what I'm looking forward to. This one's a little hard, a little tougher to get through, but it's good. It's powerful. Galatians is a powerful book. So he starts out here, "Oh, foolish Galatians." And right away I was reminded of Psalm 14:1. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. He's not maybe saying, there's no God. Maybe he's not an outward speaking atheist, but he might be a practical Christianized atheist. He's actually living out the Christian life as if there's no God. Maybe he says, oh yeah, there's a God, but if it doesn't really hit in our heart, then we're just living it out as if we're trying to live it without him. And that's what Paul's addressing here. You foolish Galatians. They forgot this is all of God, that God's involved here, and they're trying to do it on their own steam. Can't do her. This Christian life, I've said it before, I think, I was driving here, and I said, Lord, I've said it before. And it was like the Lord was saying, Ken, say it 100 times. because we have to get it. 100 times isn't going to hurt to say it. It's only of Christ. You can't live the Christian life without Christ. What does Christian, let's say Christian, without Christ in it, what does it mean? I'm nothing. There's nothing. There's not even a word there in the vocabulary for that, let alone a life. So we can't live the Christian life without Christ. He's asking us to do something that's humanly impossible to do. It's true. So if we're trying in our own steam, harder to do it without surrendering to Christ and letting him have his way here, not going to work. So, you foolish Galatians. It's amazing. That it's serious. Serious business here. Who has cast a spell on you, or who has bewitched you? Bewitched, a spell. You guys are trying to finish off what you started in the spirit, and you're trying to do it in the flesh, as it says in New King James. And that's a good one. Sometimes we get mixed up. One guy said, well, Jesus came in the flesh. And he's thinking about this. It's talking about the sinful nature. Talking about the old nature. Trying to do what God wants us to do by our own self. So here it says human effort in one place. Human effort can't do it. So, who's cast a spell on you? And then in 3:10, we didn't read that yet, and I'm not going to read through the whole thing this time, because maybe you read it this week. If you haven't read Galatians for a while, read it this week. It's powerful. 3:10. What does it say? But those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under its curse. For the scriptures say, cursed is everyone who does not observe and obey all the commands that are written in God's book of law. So we said last week, we can't keep it ourselves. So we need Christ. We have to have Christ, first of all, to save us, and then to, by his spirit, live it out. So they started something. We're talking to Christians here. These Galatians, it's a church. They started the Christian life in the spirit. They became believers by being baptized into the church by the spirit. Now, this is a Baptist church, and I agree. When we get saved, we need to be baptized in water. But that's a symbol of what's already happened, what should have already happened. If we're going to get baptized, we should already be a believer. That baptism doesn't save us. It's a symbol of what has already happened. We've died with Christ and were raised up new. Where the old is gone, the new has come. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. That's what baptism means. And so, Paul talks about it in here. That baptism, we're baptized into the body by the Holy Spirit, though. That is one faith, one hope, one baptism. When we become a believer, we're baptized by the Holy Spirit into his body. So, this is a spiritual thing, not spiritual way out there. It's a practical spiritual life, spirit-filled life that he gives us. So, what happened was they became believers, and then they tried to live this Christian life out on their own. Not by faith, but they said it was by faith plus works. And you know, up till Martin Luther and them guys, the church had gone that way. And then Martin Luther, he was so depressed by trying to keep all this stuff. He couldn't keep it. He knew he couldn't. He was an honest man. If we're honest, we know we can't keep it. If we think that we're doing, I remember once involved with some people that were into sinless perfection. And one guy would say, well, I haven't sinned today yet. I haven't sinned. I'm doing really good, you know. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go on and not sin anymore. I don't think he understood sin, and he didn't understand grace, and he didn't understand holiness. Not saying that we need to sin, no. But we do, because the sinful nature still is there. And so there's all through Galatians, Ephesians, Paul talks about that, the battle. And we're going to talk next week about that. The sinful nature and the Holy Spirit are in absolute opposition. And that's inside of me. That is inside of you. No matter who you are, if you're a believer, you have that in you. If you're not a believer, you're living in the sinful nature and you got no choice but to sin. No choice, because the Holy Spirit hasn't come in. You haven't been baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. So, yeah. It's interesting here in verse 1, 3:1, it says, pretty neat here. For the meaning of Christ's death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on a cross. Paul preached Christ and him crucified so clear that they could see, here's the cross. Last week I was pointing back there. They could see what Jesus did there. He died there. He paid there. We celebrate Easter once a year. We should celebrate it every day. Every day. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. That is my basis. The blood of Jesus. It's not my good works. That comes out of it. And we're going to talk about that next week more. But, yeah. So they were clearly presented with the gospel that Jesus is the only way. Jesus died. Jesus paid. Jesus rose again. Believe and you'll be saved. What did he say to the Philippian jailer? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He didn't say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and then try really hard and all that. He didn't say that. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And so these people believed. Then some Jews, Judaizers, whatever we want to call it, legalists came in and said, no, you got to have circumcision in there and you got to obey the law. So it was faith plus works. That's not the gospel. The gospel is by faith. Martin Luther made it clear. He saw it. He was beating himself till he bled. He hated himself. He hated himself because he knew he couldn't keep it. He thought, I can't. Finally he said, it's by grace and faith. I'm saved. He was reading in the scripture here and in Romans and so he realized, my standing, my identity is in Christ. It's not in me. That's why it says, no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. So if my identity, sometimes people say, I want to leave a legacy. I want my name to be here somewhere. Oh, my legacy better be Jesus because my name is not going to stand. Only in Christ. So he wants us to be soundly saved, but he also wants us to grow in him. Let's look at the significance of the cross here. We're going to skip over to verses 13 and 14. Tell it reminds them. But Christ has rescued us from the curse. Cursed is everyone who doesn't keep the law. We're cursed. And the law is on one point. Like we said last week, we keep the whole law but break one, we broke them all. It's like a chain, a logger's chain that's got a hairline crack. It's only as good as that hairline crack. Useless. And so is our faith by trying to obey the law. There is no such a thing. And so here he says, but Christ. So it is clear, where are we? Yeah, 13. But Christ, in 13, has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse of our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles and with the same blessing he promised Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith. So there it is. That's what he taught them. It's Christ and him alone. So why was there the law? Why didn't God just say, believe? Why is there the law? Why does he have the law? Seemed like it's a big stumbling block. When I was younger, I'm still young. That's what people tell me, I don't know. But, I actually thought this. I'm ashamed to say it now. This was in Woodstock days. I never went to Woodstock, and I never got into all of that, thank God. But what happened was, is I thought, just let loose. What's all these rules and all this religious stuff and all the laws of the land? Why not just let loose and let us be? It'll be all right. Well, let's look if we have the law. 3:19. It says, first of all, that just I find it hard to see these little verse markings. Why then was the law given? Paul says. Why was the law given? It was given alongside the promise to show people their sins. Another place it says, in Romans, it says, where there is no law, there is no sin. Interesting. But there is law. God created this earth with certain rules. Otherwise, we'd have, one guy said it's like this. If you have a hockey game without rules, it's mayhem. No blue line, no center. Throw the stick, hit the guy. No penalty box. No ref. What kind? That wouldn't be a game. It wouldn't be nothing. Life's like that. God created life so that we would follow him. There's guidelines there. So first of all, it's to show us sin. I look at the commandments. Oh, I never committed adultery. Jesus says, if you looked on a woman with lust, you already committed adultery in your heart. This is a heart thing. This whole thing, really, it's a heart, head and heart, but really the heart. Oh, God, help my heart. So it's to show our sin. But it's also, let's read 23. Very interesting here. If we got any policemen here, they'll be blessed. Before the way of faith in Christ was available to us, we were placed under guard of the law. We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed. You know, Daniel Koster's not here, but he had a really good teaching. I mentioned it here before. He had the Ten Commandments up there. I want to tell you about God's safety plan. Ten Commandments. God's safety plan. It's not the way we're going to get there. A lot of people, they say, well, we just obey the commandments. I'm doing my best. Just obey the commandments. That's what, I'm doing pretty good with that. I think it'll be fine. That's not what it was given for. It was given to show us we can't keep it. We can't. I broke it. I break it. And to protect us. Now, let's think about Canada without police officers. What would it be like? I know guys, sometimes guys, people that don't have much, I don't know a guy, I won't say his name, he's gone already, he died, but he used to say, them cops, this long, them guys, this and that. Really on him. And then when he got in trouble, though, maybe I should call the cop. I'll call the cop. He called the cops. Why? Because there's protection there. We can either see the yellow stripe down there as, oh, boy. Or we can say, thank God they're there. Protection. We have laws because we're lawbreakers. The earth is full of lawbreakers. We have to have laws. Even in China, they have laws for lawbreakers. Not all of them. Not all the laws there for lawbreakers, but there, every country has laws for lawbreakers. And we're all lawbreakers. So it's God's safety plan. God's safety plan. The Ten Commandments says this is how you should live. And if we live according to them, which we can't, but in Christ we can. We'll get into that a little more next week. It's the only way we do is Him living His life in us. So we need the law. Been given as a reminder of our sin and as a protection for us. And then let's read 3:13 here. I like it when the Bible says but. So it says here in 13, we're under the curse if we break the law. Then it goes to 13, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. But. Turns it right around. Christ has rescued us from the curse. Where are we here? He took, when he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. So the curse was put on him. One of the most cursed things in that day was to be crucified. It really was. People looked and said, that rotten thief, that rotten murderer, he deserved it. He got what he deserved. Jesus got what we deserved. It's a beautiful thing. We should never get tired of that. If we get tired of that, we're missing the essence of the Christian life. He rescued us. It wasn't we rescued ourselves. We hear often, we're going to rescue this planet. We're going to rescue this planet, or I'm going to get her together. I know I can. I just need more self-esteem, and I'm going to do her. Not going to do her. Not of us. Not I got it together. Not self-help. Not of man, but of God. Then, another but. It's in 4. We're jumping pretty big leaps here because the time, only got so much time. But Eunice isn't here checking, so. But when the right time came, God sent his son. But, it says, when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. Identity is so important. Who am I? Living this Christian life, who am I? Am I a carpenter? Am I a logger? Preacher? Am I a sinner? We do sin. Am I a sinner by identity as a Christian? I'm a child of God. I'm bought and paid for. It's the blood of Jesus. Paid for me. So I can boldly come into the throne of grace I was sharing with the lady in the back there. What a privilege it is to pray. And you know, when we're in Christ, it shouldn't be, well, at least we can pray. Or now everything else is kind of petered out, so now I'll pray. Let's pray now, because it's getting desperate. Let's call a prayer meeting. We're desperate now. We should be called, it should be the most honorable privilege to pray, because it's a relationship. The law says rules, regulations, and that's what keeps us going. Well, you know, when the policeman stops me and I'm speeding, it's kind of not a very good relationship. I remember once a guy in Lac La Hache years ago, I had all the kids, and Eunice said, I think we better stop. I used to want to drive through. My selfish self said, drive through. I don't know if you men, well, I think most men want to just get there. Home. Where are we going? Well, we're driving through. Honestly, I didn't see the sign. 50. Went from, I think, 100 to 50. And I'm cruising along. All of a sudden, the lights are on. I said, why is that guy stopping us? Pulls over and was hey, did you know how fast you're going? Yeah, about 100. He says, it's 50 here. Did you see the sign? I said, no. So he says, registration, and I'm looking for my driver's. I hadn't pulled it out for a while, and Eunice is shuffling through all the papers in the glove compartment. But we had a Bible in there. We had a Bible in the glove compartment. She looks at that one, that's an old one, and then finally she finds the current registration, and we give it all to, not the Bible, but the rest of the stuff. And so then he wrote, I thought, oh, maybe he'll be gracious with, no, he wrote me up. And so then, but you know what happened? I said, I felt the Spirit in me say, God bless you. I didn't know I was speeding. But if it wasn't for you guys, there would be guys driving all over 100 clicks. And we'd have nuts. It'd be nuts on the road. Thanks for doing your job. God bless you. He kind of looked. I don't think that happens very often on the road there. He turned around, he kind of walked away a bit, and then he came back and he said, are you folks Christians? Because I saw your Bible in there. I said, well, what made you think? Well, I saw the Bible. And, yeah, we're Christians. Well, so am I, he said. And then we started a little relationship, a little more than the law. The law said, Ken, you're condemned. But this relationship with him was, well, what was the deal here? Why didn't you see the sign? I said, well, I was looking for motel, somewhere to stay, and I guess I was looking that way when the sign went by. Well, he said there's lots of motels and hotels here. There's a good one, there's a good one. We talked for a bit, and he said, God bless you. There was a relationship building, right? Later they said, oh, yeah, we know that guy. Other people, we know that guy. He stops lots of guys. He had a little bit of the law in him, but he was a cop. Can't expect not to have the law in him. But yeah, I deserved it. It's a beautiful thing to have that relationship with Christ. Yeah. So, let's look here at 4. I was reading 4:7. I got carried away there. God sent his son, born of a woman subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts. Remember Psalm 14:1? What did it say there? The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Do we really believe there's a God in our heart? Does that change anything today, tomorrow, in our life? Does here, it says, in our heart. Because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out what? Abba, Father. That's Daddy. Daddy. And you know, my kids, the reason why Eunice isn't here, I don't have to give her a reason, but our kids are all at home, and the grandkids are all at home, and it's such a blessing, and they got their place to go where they know all the people more than here, church and all that, so they're not here. But this morning, little Brianna, our granddaughter, there she was, and she was just laying on Daddy, just resting on Daddy. And they told me yesterday, they said, She's only like 2 and a half, and she can just talk, getting the words together. And she calls me Papa, because our first grandson called me Papa, so they all call me Papa now. But she says, Papa, he's Daddy's Daddy. She said that on her own without them prompting her. Papa, he's Daddy's Daddy. Pretty neat, you know, but here she was, laying on Joel, little Brianna, just totally at peace with this beautiful relationship with Daddy. Now, I'm sure it isn't always like that. When she was trying to put her feet and the eggs on the table, it was a little bit of the law. That was a little later. But, you know, God wants this Daddy relationship with us. It's beautiful. Abba, Father. That's what he wants. Daddy, here I am. Daddy, I messed up there. Daddy, forgive me. Jesus said, unless you become as a child, you'll not see the kingdom. Got to become as a child. It's not about getting her all together. It's about being honest with him and transparent with him, just like we do with Daddy when things are going good. Sometimes Daddy doesn't want to listen. Our earthly Daddy. But our heavenly Daddy, he wants to listen. He's intimately acquainted with every detail in our life. He is. And that's where the essence of this Christian walk is, this relationship. He gave his spirit into our hearts. It's a heart thing. The mind kicks into gear. The word comes into action. We love the word. We want to follow the word. It's his love letter to us. Daddy wrote me this. Daddy, speak to me through your word. Daddy, change my heart. That song, change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. That's what he wants. So, you know I've been there. And I still go there. Oh, this is how it is, and that's how it is, and that guy, that, and that. Oh, when I go there, start getting into the law, and the lights are going behind me. Stop, Kim. Stop. Just obey me. Just trust me. Surrender your heart. You know, it's interesting. The law condemns. But what does it say? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Beautiful. That's our relationship. It's not a condemnation thing. If we think that he's waiting there with a big club, Ken, you swore again. Bang! It's not like that at all. He's weeping and he's saying, Ken, that's my name. And he wants me to come to him, Lord. I know sometimes it still comes. Forgive me, Lord. Change my heart. So when I speak your name, I speak it in holy reverence because you're my daddy. That's the beauty. So beautiful. So it's a heart thing, mind thing, it's a will thing. Christ produces love and joy and peace. Patience, kindness, all those kind of things. Unity. There's no unity without Christ. We can't, you know what? Just the fact that we got so many doctrinal statements, and I'm not against doctrine. Doctrine is good, I just said. But we have so many doctrinal statements that it's obvious we're not going to find unity in doctrinal statements. We find unity in Christ. Unity comes from Christ. And we're going to love, if we see things a little different, we're going to love anyway. If we're in Christ, we're even going to love our enemies. But the law, which is governed by the sinful nature, brings the opposite. Hate, condemnation, guilt, strife, disunity. Doesn't bring any freedom. It brings slavery. The Galatians lost their joy. Listen to what it says in 4. I'm going to read Galatians 4. I think I wrote 5 to 16 there. Let's start in. It's a little farther than that. Yeah, 8. That's what it is. Before you Gentiles knew God, you were slaves to so-called gods that do not even exist. So now that you know God, or should I say that God knows you, that's the actual truth. It starts with God, but we know God because he knows us. Why do you want to go back and become slaves once again to the weak and useless spiritual principles of this world? You are trying to earn favor with God by observing certain days or months or seasons or years. I fear for you. Perhaps all my hard work with you was for nothing. Dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to live as I do in freedom from these things. For I have become like you Gentiles, free from those laws. You did not mistreat me. Listen to what happened here. You did not mistreat me when I first preached to you. Surely you remember that when I was sick, when I first brought you the good news. But even though my condition tempted you to reject me, you did not despise me or turn me away. No, you took me in and you cared for me, though as though I was an angel from God or even Christ Jesus himself. That's how they treated him when they first got saved. That joy, that Christ was working in and through them. Then it says, where are we here? But even though my condition tempted you to reject me, you did not despise me or turn me away. No, you took me in and cared for me as though I were an angel from God or even Christ Jesus himself. Where is that joyful and grateful spirit you felt there then? I am sure you would have taken out your own eyes and given them to me if it had been possible. I think he had an eye problem. Later he says, see the big letters I write with. He had an eye problem. I got eye problems. That's why I'm stuttering around here reading. But I thank God that here these Galatians had such a love ready to pluck their own eyes out so he could see if they could. That's what from the Spirit. Have I now become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth? They got into the law and it brought animosity. It brought the legalism into it. The relationship was not there because the law doesn't bring relationship. So they were looking at him as an enemy. These Judaizers had come in and said it's by the law. And they're missing the relationship. And that's what happens to us when we start not letting the Spirit of God rule in our heart. So, where are we here? Yeah, let's keep reading. Those false teachers are so eager to win your favor, but their intentions are not good. They are trying to shut you off from me so that you will pay attention only to them. If someone is eager to do good things for you, that's all right, but let them do it all the time, not just when I'm with you. Oh, my dear children, I feel as I'm going through labor pains for you again, and they will continue until Christ is formed, fully developed in you. Christ is fully formed in you, another version said. So that's what he wants of us. Christ to be, in Romans it says we're to be conformed to the image of Christ. That's what he wants of believers. And how does that happen? By surrender to him. By letting him have his way. And so when Christ is fully developed in me, then I'm going to obey those rules because he wants me to. Because he's urging me to. It's that life. So next week we want to talk about chapters 5 and 6. We want to talk about a practical, spirit-filled life. The Word of God is practical. It is. It's not something way out there and theological that we can't understand. Actually, the Word of God in our hearts is practical. It's right today. How I react to the cop who stopped me. It does. How my prayer life is. Do I really want to pray? Do I love my Lord? Am I like a child before him? That's what he wants. What's the time? Oh, time's by. We'll pray. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that this life that humanly is impossible is absolutely possible through you, only possible through you. So, Lord, I pray that this week you would just give us that desire to love you, that desire to follow you, that desire to be what you want us to be, that real self that you've made us to be. Not all our false ideas and all of our ways, Lord, but have your way. So I thank you for this church. I thank you for the church in the valley, Lord. I pray that we would shine as things get darker in this world, that we would shine brighter. We would stand up and let you have your way so that we would react in the way that you would. We'd respond in your love, according to your word, with your power. So thank you, Lord, for your word here to the Galatians. May it speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.